Podcast. I am your host, Eddie Lindenstein, and it is Christmas Eve. If you celebrate Christmas, it's December 24th as you listen to this. Better put my phone on mute. If you listen to Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast, which I highly recommend it, if his phone goes off during an interview with somebody or during a podcast, he always says, I owe everybody that's listening to this a beer. So if you're listening to this, I owe you a beer, maybe, sort of. Anyway, Merry Christmas to you if you celebrate it. Let me kick off the show first, though, by giving a big shout out to all the patrons of the podcast. So patreon.com/ The Mind and Fitness Podcast. Patreon is a place for creators. So if you're a patron, it means that you are putting some kind of a monetary amount towards the podcast. This takes time. This takes energy. The equipment certainly has a cost to it. H4N Pro Zoom recorder, microphones, chargers, all that kind of stuff. But then also the publishing fees. And just, you know, to be honest, like scheduling interviews and having interviews and doing audio and all that kind of stuff is taking away from other jobs that I may be doing or different things like that. So it's really to say thank you for putting the effort and energy into the podcast, and hey, I'm getting value out of it. So there is about 15 people around the world that are contributing a monthly amount to the podcast to keep it on the air for free. And I am so grateful for these people. So Kim, Barb, Arnie, Helen, Sarah, Kristen, Stan, Adrian, Sarah, Alyssa, Brian, Casey, Julie, Caroline, Ross, Holly, Christina, Sean, Jenny, Eddie, and Jennifer are all making regular donations to the show. So it's really cool. You set the amount it is that you want to contribute, and then you just set it and forget it. And it goes into basically a trust fund or whatever for the podcast. And then you're showing your support, and you get a shout out on the podcast every single episode. I open up with that. So thank you so much, especially around the holidays. It's awesome to get that extra little boost. So today's podcast, I've aired 3 interviews in a row now. I have some interviews in the hopper. I've gotten some requests via email about different things to talk about, one of which came from a listener named Frederick, who said, hey, I've heard bits and pieces of your story, but you haven't told your whole story on the podcast before, and he thinks that that would be really good. So that might be what I do next week. We'll see. Depends on some feedback. If you think I should or you think I should not, send me a DM or post on Facebook or something like that. Let me know what you think. So today is kind of a hodgepodge of stuff. In fact, since it's a holiday week, time really snuck up on me, having release date be typically on a Wednesday. But ultimately, the holiday, Christmas and New Year's, both fall on Wednesdays. Likely, these podcasts are going to get released either on Tuesday, in the next case, perhaps even Monday. Kind of depends on my allocation of time. So today, I'm actually going to be borrowing a lot of audio from Dr. Mike Murray and Jim Prusak, the pain PT. They're going to talk about a couple of things. So that should be cool. But really, I think the name of this episode, most appropriately, is going to be IDGAF. And what that stands for is I don't give a fuck. And where this came from is, so there's a local chiropractic clinic to me, geographically local, that does a podcast maybe once every 3 or 4 weeks. And my big beef a lot of times with chiropractic, and I've shared this with Dr. Mike Murray, who went to chiropractic school and practiced and all that kind of stuff, is that I feel like it's a lot of fear mongering, and it's a lot of made up diagnosis, a lot of made up fear prognosis. Things that just aren't necessary. They're not helping anybody. They're making situations worse in a lot of cases. And so this podcast, you know, they do a show on plantar fasciitis and how prevalent it is in society and, you know, wearing different shoes and sitting all the time and all this, you know, all the stupid shit that we know now is completely false. And there was an episode recently that really bothered me, and it bothered me for a couple of reasons. So one of the things they were talking about was they gave an example of someone who was in a car accident, and 3 weeks go by, and their pain is gone, but that somebody notices that they're walking with a slight limp. And what does that limp mean? What does it mean? And so that's where they need to come in and get intervention done by a chiropractor, and they need to be seen 2 to 3 times a week for several weeks on end. Could be 6 weeks, could be 4,015 weeks, you know, really whatever it is that the chiropractor seems to want in their pocketbook. That's part of how I define that. And so I was like, that just doesn't sound right to me. And so I asked Jim Prusak, the pain PT, and Dr. Mike Murray to both weigh in on this particular topic, the idea of the body not healing and returning to where it's supposed to be. Jim Prusak has talked in this podcast before about the body knows what to do, doesn't necessarily need intervention. The body knows what to do if you can get out of the way, if you let it do its thing. And it got me thinking even further about this other chiropractor that I saw in Seattle. He had all these posters of babies up in his clinic. And the notion was that your body knew exactly what to do when you were a baby. When you started to walk on your own, you just learned how to do things, these motor skills. You didn't need the help or assistance of somebody else or something else. And yet, I don't understand why this same exact logic doesn't apply when you're an adult and you have this ongoing pain or issue. I think the thought is that, okay, you need to go and see a chiropractor 4,000 times or 400 times or 15 times or whatever in order to relearn certain things. But where the fuck was the baby in this? So the baby, for some reason, can pick up things to do, large motor skills, all these kinds of things. And yet, as an adult, for some whatever reason, we can't do that. And I'll tell you the reason. The reason is around fear. The reason is around money. The reason is around misconception. It's so heavily layered, and it bothers me a lot. Anytime I see somebody, especially somebody that I'm a friend with or close with, that sustains some kind of a quote-unquote injury, and the first thing to do is freak out, go to the doctor, go to the chiropractor, go buy mobility tools, all this kind of stuff, when really it's just like, just chill, and it will make itself better. It also had me thinking about an email I got recently from somebody asking about a facet joint dislocation that they were diagnosed with by a chiropractor. They had a facet joint, quote unquote, out of place. So I'm gonna have Dr. Mike weigh in on that right now.
Hey, what's up, Eddie? Thanks for reaching out to me about this question, and I am happy to help. So let's talk about facet joint dislocations, right? Because I'm sure that is a term that gets thrown around all the time in, you know, the chronic pain community for when people are having, you know, chronic pain in their lower back or their neck. And here's the thing that people need to realize about a dislocation. A true facet joint, which the facet joints are the spinal joints, right, inside the spinal column, right? The facet joint dislocation would be a complete change in the position of that joint, meaning like the bones were completely twisted and the joints weren't even touching anymore, right? That's an honest to goodness dislocation. That type of situation is going to hurt so badly, you will 100% be going to the emergency room, right? This is the same as like having, you know, your finger joint and it's completely now bent at a, you know, 90 degree angle backwards. Right? That's a dislocation. When your shoulder comes out, that's a dislocation. So anybody who's not experiencing that type of severe pain in their facet joints that is like visible on x-ray without a shadow of a doubt is not therefore experiencing facet joint dislocation, right? True dislocation is a complete change in the position of the alignment of the joint, and it is going to hurt like hell. You know, probably what these people are, you know, are being told is that they have, you know, they're using the word dislocation in exchange for subluxation. You know, vertebral subluxation occurs supposedly when the joints of the spine fail to move properly. But, you know, vertebral subluxation is not even accepted within the medical community as a legitimate diagnosis. And it's so variable, you know, on x-ray, as far as when you have providers look at what's going on, they're going to give you 100 different answers, each of them. So dislocation is different from subluxation. Dislocation is severe. It's painful. You will 100% know that you have it. It will be very clear on x-ray, versus subluxation is just going to be, you know, something that a word that chiropractors and, you know, physical therapists and whoever are tossing around to try and describe why someone has pain. So I hope that is helpful. In the second half of your question, you asked, you know, about facet joint dislocation. How does it heal? How does it realign, etc.? Right? If you have a true honest to goodness dislocation, then you'll be going to the emergency room and they will be, you know, resetting the joint properly. Right? So that's how it would therefore be realigned. I mean, I suppose there are chiropractors out there that can do that as well. I mean, we were taught how to like put a shoulder back in place if it was dislocated. So, you know, it's going to hurt like hell when you do it real quick. You know, these are the types of situations where when it's truly dislocated, that person is like bent over and contorted in a crazy position. It's very visible on x-ray, and they're going to, you know, very abruptly push that joint back into place, right? You know, otherwise, this whole idea of facet joint syndrome, that's just a fancy way of saying that you have back pain, right? And we all know that anytime you come up with a fancy way of saying you have back pain, it's because they don't know what's going on, right? Because facet joint syndrome just means I think the pain is in your facet joints. But what does that really mean, right? We have to ask ourselves, what does pain in the facet joints mean? Is there an actual dislocation there, or is that just where I have pain? If that is just where I have pain, what is causing me to have pain there? Is it physical overload? Is it chemical overload? Is it emotional overload? Is it all three, a combination, right? Those are the questions that we need to be asking. Anybody that's, you know, running around thinking they have vertebral subluxations, you know, in their facet joints, yeah, hey, I'm not even a chiropractor, you know, I'm not practicing chiropractic anymore because I don't believe in that stuff. So, you know, it's something for you to ask yourself that question and see if it makes sense to you. But of course, you know, if you're in the, within the chronic pain community, you're starting to think more about how the mind and the body are connected and how, you know, those two relate when it comes to pain. So just wanted to touch base really quick on the second half of that question, and hope you're having a great day, and I'll talk to you soon. All right. Bye.
I ever just said how nice it is to basically have a physical therapist and a chiropractor more or less on retainer, an unpaid retainer. Sorry, guys, but mucho thank yous for showing up and being a part of the podcast whenever it is that I need you. I also wanted to get their opinion on that example I gave earlier, the chiropractor talking about somebody gets in a car accident, they have pain, pain goes away in 3 weeks, and yet they're walking funny, and so now they need intervention. So first, let's listen to Jim Prusak, the pain PT, talk about it, and then we're going to listen to Dr. Mike. So here's Jim Prusak, the pain PT.
Hey, Eddie, I know you wanted me to give you a little input here regarding what you spoke about with chiropractors and other health professionals really making this statement that the body doesn't really heal and that we need to be doing something about it to recover, even if we don't have pain. And I want to speak a little bit about this because the body has an innate ability to heal, and it does so automatically, just like you breathe, just like we digest our food. The body has a cellular way to heal tissue, whether it's soft tissue like muscle or ligaments or hard tissue like bone. We have a built-in mechanism to heal. And the science is pretty clear in this. It shows basically, let's take low back pain for example, that no matter what kind of treatment you have for acute low back pain, it's going to heal most of the time. Whether you have physical therapy, whether you have chiropractic care, acupuncture, whether you have injections, whether you use ice, you know, literally whether you stand in your head or turn around in circles, the body's going to heal. And it's not, you know, I don't take credit for people that heal from acute pain because it's not nothing I do. The body does it itself. Now, when we get to chronic pain, that's a different story because the research is showing that chronic pain, pain that doesn't heal in the normal period of healing, there is a lot of times a component of the brain and nervous system, which is what we talk about with TMS. And that's when we have to start looking at some of these psychosocial factors and belief patterns. There's a study recently that came out this year. I found it very interesting in the UK on shoulder pain, looking at 1,000 people. And what they found in physiotherapy that is, it wasn't the physical therapy that mattered whether someone got better. It was the belief of the patient in the physical therapy that mattered the most. What we call self-efficacy, which is this confidence in your ability to heal and to know that you're going to get better. That actually trumped everything else. So what is that? That's our brain. And that's just one component of what we need to heal. People that read Dr. Sarno's books can heal. Well, they have a change in their belief, and that belief alone helps them recover. So I just wanted to give you this little blurb about this. Yes, the body heals, and when the body doesn't heal, we got to look to the brain and nervous system for potential roots of the problem. Take care, Eddie, and hope you're doing well. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jim, so much for weighing in. Now let's hear. Dr. Mike actually did two videos on this, so I'm going to slice up the audio as much as I can to make it sound clean, but we'll see how good of an effort this is. But Dr. Mike, what say you?
Hey, what's up, Eddie? Dr. Mike here, and going over your questions. So happy to give you some feedback about this. Okay, so the example is, right, someone gets in a car accident and has pain for 3 weeks. The pain goes away, but people notice that the person is walking funny, and they go on to say that the body does not know what to do post-injury and movement-wise and always needs intervention. So something that stands out to me in their example is that it sounds like it's only 3 weeks past the accident, and 3 weeks past an accident is still well within the acute phase of healing, right? So the body would be readjusting after the trauma. What I think is really interesting is in their example, they talk about how the pain goes away, right? That right there is an example of how the body is readjusting, is starting to regain balance and homeostasis, right? So it's already very successful at doing that by decreasing the pain in the body, right? That's already happening. So to me, that suggests that the body will continue to work itself out, even if that person is walking funny after the injury. The chiropractic profession as a whole, I find, you know, this very interesting idea where they talk about how, you know, you need the adjustment and the intervention in order to restore the body back to, you know, its innate state of health. And they go on to talk about how, you know, the body is capable of, like, you know, just so much greatness, so much health, and at the same time, then they say, but you still need our help, right? So in one sentence, they're saying the body is this, like, incredible healing mechanism, and in the next sentiment, they're saying, but you need my help in order to do that. And I think those two things contradict each other. Personally, I do believe that the body is very intelligent when it comes to its ability to heal and solve injuries and, you know, pain, and that most of the time we need a good old dose of relaxation, right? Mental and emotional relaxation, starting to work through some of the mental tension, the holding patterns that we have in our mind, and the emotional baggage that we've been carrying around, and learning tools to process that so that the body can just relax. And to me, you know, that says it's a mental game. So that is my answer for your question, bud. I'm going to keep it under 3 minutes so I can send this off to you, and I'll talk to you soon. All right, bye.
Okay, so we've been able to conclude that injuries, in fact, do heal. And if we get out of the way, the body knows what to do. So it's just, I don't know, the more I sit with this stuff, the more I fester, and it's just, you know, it just is what it is. And I think that a big piece of it, and we're going to dive deep into this with Julie Markowitz in a couple of weeks on the podcast, but this whole notion of giving up your power to somebody else, we need somebody to give us a pill, we need somebody to fix us, we need somebody to tell us what to do. We're essentially saying that we're powerless, we're hopeless, we don't know what to do, we don't know how to help ourselves, so we yield and submit that power to somebody else, when really you have everything that you need to heal yourself, get rid of your own issues inside of you. It takes some introspection. It takes a lot of removal of fear, and that's what so much of this stuff is about. And it goes back to the acronym that this episode is about. You need to have an I don't give a fuck kind of an attitude towards the fear, and I don't give a fuck attitude towards anything that you've been told, to be able to essentially throw those things out the window. So this has been the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Short episode for the holiday. I'm not even sure how many people are even going to listen to it this week, but have a great holiday week, and I will talk to you again next week, and it might be the My Story episode. Let me know what you think about me doing something like that, and then we'll be back to our normal programming with interviews and such starting at the first week of January. So thanks again. This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Happy holidays to you.